is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Iraqi teenagers dragged two bloodied U.S. soldiers from a wrecked vehicle and pummeled them with concrete blocks, Sunday witnesses said, describing the killings as a burst of savagery in a city once safe for Americans. Another soldier was killed by a bomb, and a U.S. allied police chief was assassinated. The U.S.-led coalition also said it grounded commercial flights after the military confirmed that a missile struck a DHL cargo plane that landed Saturday at Baghdad International Airport with its wing aflame. Nevertheless, American officers insist they are making progress in bringing stability to Iraq. Five U.S. soldiers were killed and seven injured when their helicopter crashed Sunday near the American military headquarters north of the Afghan capital, U.S. Central Command said. The soldiers were involved in an ongoing U.S. military operation dubbed Mountain Resolve, taking place in the east of the country. A U.S. military helicopter crashed today near Bagram, Afghanistan, said a statement sent by email from Central Command in Tampa, Florida. Early reports indicate seven service members were injured and at least five service members were killed. It is not clear what caused the crash, and the military said it is investigating. Senate Democratic leader Tom Daschle is demanding that Republicans stop showing their first television ad of the 2004 presidential race, which he called repulsive and outrageous. The 30-second ad, which aired in Iowa over the weekend, features clips of Bush during his State of the Union address last January and says his opponents are now attacking the president for attacking the terrorists. Other Democrats on the Sunday talk shows joined Daschle in his criticism. Presidential candidate Wesley Clark said the ad is wrong and it violates the pledge the president made not to exploit 911 for political purposes. Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy called it an attempt to stifle dissent. Clark said, "I'm not attacking Mr. Bush for attacking terrorists. I'm attacking Mr. Bush for not attacking terrorists." An oil pipeline near the northern city of Kirkuk was on fire Monday, and the local official said the blaze may have been caused by sabotage. Details about the incident were sketchy, said the manager of the Northern Oil Company. The fire occurred on a subsidiary line linking oil fields east of Kirkuk with the main pipeline in the region, and it was believed sabotage was to blame. Insurgents have repeatedly targeted pipelines linking the fields around Kirkuk.
More news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had. And I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK. 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
A 19-year-old Norwegian has been convicted of drunken driving, even though he was a passenger, had a sober designated driver, and didn't even have the keys to start a car that was turned off. The man and a friend were on their way home from a party in April when they stopped at a gas station to buy some food. He reached over from the passenger seat to change a CD in the car stereo and hit the manual gear stick. The car went into neutral and started to roll. A police officer was watching and detained him for drunken driving. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
It's time for another chapter of The Lifestyles of the Rich and Cranky. Rich people have problems too. For example, what's the use of being rich if you can't be pampered? Yet there's little to no respect for wealthy people who wallow around in luxury. So imagine the agony of the rich as they wrestle with ways to be pampered without being ridiculed for it. Take corporate jets. Your top CEOs don't travel first class. They travel their class in private jets. No lines, no wanding of their private parts, no mingling with us peons. Their new favorite is Gulfstream's G450 jet, which will fly 8 passengers 5,000 miles nonstop and PDQ. Price tag, $33 million. But that's stripped bare. You get a flyable plane for $33 million, but no interior. No seats, wall coverings, washroom, carpet, storage bins, etc. It takes another $3 or $4 million to have your plane outfitted, with an emphasis on soft and plush. Deerskin sleep seats, mahogany cabinets, Persian carpets, muted lighting, flat-screen video displays with surround sound systems, walk-in showers, and, of course, 24-karat gold plating for the fixtures. As one jet maker puts it, the finishes and furnishings should look more like the interior of a multi-million-dollar home than an airplane. Yes, but what are the small shareholders and the workers to think? They see these flying mansions as nothing but extravagant toys for over-pampered executive fat cats. CEOs get cranky when asked about this, but now they've devised a carefully crafted response. A jet encourages in-flight productivity, they claim, asserting that it's just another work tool, like a carpenter's lathe or a schoolteacher's book bag. This is Jim Hightower saying, if it takes Persian carpets and gold fixtures to be productive, why don't they provide these for all workers?
The chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this Monday evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us the phone number here if you would like to express yourself. 800-825-5937. That's 800 Talk Yes. Or you can email MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Tonight you'll hear Rummy giving Too Stupid to Be President a Monica at today's defense bill signing. What else we got? Democratic presidential hopefuls debate. We're not going to carry any of that, are we? Thank you, God. A prescription drug plan at the center of the debate. And we'll talk about that a little bit. I know a lot of our listeners are of a certain age where Medicare, prescription drug plans, doesn't mean anything, right? We also have a lot of listeners for whom it does mean quite a bit. It should mean something to you. No matter what your age is, I don't care if you're 25 or 65. If you're 25, as you know, you will be forever young. You'll never grow old. 25-year-olds never, ever, 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 ever grow old. But on the outside chance that you do, you may want to listen to what we have to say a little bit later on this evening. It's not just the Medicare bill, though. If Bush and the Republicans will lie so egregiously about Medicare, they'll lie to you about anything, but you already know that. So, anyway. The Queen, apparently the Queen of England, is furious with the frat boy after his little trip through Buckingham Palace. Did you see this? It was carried yesterday in the Mirror, the Sunday Mirror in the United Kingdom. Thousands of dollars of damage to her gardens at Buckingham Palace. The Mirror says royal officials are now in touch with the Queen's insurers and Prime Minister Tony Blair to find out who will pick up the massive repair bill. And palace staff said they had never seen the Queen so angry as when she saw how her perfectly maintained and manicured lawns had been churned up after being turned into helicopter pads for the Bush visit. these people don't care. I mean, why should Bush care? What? He doesn't understand any of this. And she put me down over there. The rotors of Too Stupid to Be President's Air Force or Marine Force One helicopter and two support Black Hawk helicopters damaged trees and shrubs that had been there and had survived since Queen Victoria's reign. When is that, Kathy? 1870s? 1880s? Some turn of the century? Something like that? The security, Bush's security thugs trampled exotic plants, precious plants. This is inside Buckingham Palace where, God knows, the Al-Qaeda is lurking behind every rose bush and every flamingo waiting to get a clear shot at Bush, right? Of course. Absolutely. The palace's head gardener, one Mark Lane, was reported to be in tears when he saw the damage. Oh, God. What else to say here? The lawns are used for royal garden parties and are beautifully kept, but 30,000 visitors did not do as much damage last year as Bush and his frat boys did in 3 days. These people are just unbelievable, aren't they? Oh, I know. It's such a tiny thing. Who gives a damn about the Queen's Garden? It is indicative of the attitude of this group, though. The arrogance is, I guess, what is so gagging. The arrogance of the Bush crime family. What did you do this weekend? We went last night to see Master and Commander, the Russell Crowe movie. God, what a break. We desperately needed a break from reality. And if you are of the same attitude, go see the movie. Great fun if you like naval battles. Well, kind of. There's only one. The British ship and a French ship stalking each other during the days of Lord Nelson and the Hundred Years' War between the British and the French and Napoleon and all this other stuff. It's a great movie to see. Fun movie to see. Go check it out. It is kind of gory, though, isn't it, Kathy? Great sound. The sound was just incredible. I'm becoming more and more tuned into some of those technical aspects of film, I always have, as you have, but you get you begin to notice it more. Cinematography and design, set design and sound. How effective a sound can be. Good movie. Last week's big story, I guess, was the fact that the state of Massachusetts decided, big domestic story, decided that there is no constitutional reason why people of the same sex can't get married. And, of course, the religious right thugs just went ballistic. All the good little Christians running around like chickens with their heads cut off about, oh, my God, this will destroy Jesus or destroy heaven or something. Whatever. Several years ago, matter of fact, about 7 years ago, as Congress was considering what is incredibly called the Defense of Marriage Act, back in 1990, the Defense of Marriage Act, which is on the books, you know, Representative Henry Hyde, who had no problem destroying somebody else's marriage, he was a pimp of the highest order. Henry Hyde had numerous affairs. He had an ongoing affair that lasted about 9 years with a married woman in Illinois that utterly and absolutely destroyed that woman's marriage, destroyed that woman's children. Henry Hyde was just a big old fat pimp. But in doing his research for the Defense of Marriage Act, this stuff happens all the time, and it's just like, oh, my God, this can't be real. But this was before they were attacking Clinton because Clinton had a girlfriend. So back in 1996, Defense of Marriage Act, Henry Hyde asked the General Accounting Office to identify federal laws in which benefits, rights, or privileges were contingent on marital status. In other words, what laws, federal laws, only applied to married people or the people denied that on the basis of not being married to show something. I don't know what gruesome Henry Hyde, the fake Catholic homewrecker, the adulterer, was trying to show. But inadvertently, he turned up a rock that showed how important it is to be married in this country and why men and women happen to be homosexual, who happen to be parents, who happen to be taxpayers, would like to have the same protections, rights, and privileges as their non-gay brothers and sisters, right? Well, the GAO, the Research Arm of Congress, came back a year later with a list of 1,049 laws in which marital status is a factor. The GAO then organized all of those laws into 13 categories. Here they are. Social Security and related programs, housing and food stamps. That's one. How about an example? The Old Age Survivors and Disability Program of Social Security requires that beneficiaries be validly married. Okay? Veterans benefits. Here's an example. Some disabled vets are entitled to additional disability pay if they're married. Okay? Now, gay men and women have fought for this country since this country was not this country. There are veterans out there, thousands who happen to be gay, who happen to be denied full benefits because they are denied the right to get married. Oh, well. Another one is taxation. There are 179 provisions in which marital status is a factor regarding taxation, including 59 provisions in which tax liability depends on whether the taxpayer is married or single. So, on the one hand, shouldn't men and women happen to be gay have the same rights, but shouldn't they also have the same obligations? Taxes. Next category, federal civilian and military service benefits. There are 270 provisions in this category. An example, health benefits of survivor or survivor benefits for an employee's spouse. That is denied to non-married people who have been living together for 5, 8, 10, 12, 20, 25, 30 years because they cannot get married because they happen to be of the same gender. What else? Employment benefits and related laws. Here's an example. Continuation of employer-sponsored health benefits after the death or divorce of an employee. If you can't get married, you are denied that, even though you may have had a relationship three times as long as the average heterosexual marriage. Immigration, naturalization, and aliens is the next category. An example, spouses of aliens seeking asylum may receive the same status if they accompany or join their spouses. Now, if you're prevented from being a spouse, well, hello, you may be left in Cuba. Native Americans, you remember those, the Redskins? The Braves, you know, the Indians. Here's an example. Rights of tribal property in a marriage between an Indian and a non-Indian. No, I didn't know that existed either. Trade, commerce, and intellectual property. Here's an example. Copyright renewal rights to the widow or the widower of the copyright holder. If I wrote Let It Be and die and I own have the copyright, The royalties can't be transferred to my same-sex partner, who I may have been living with for 30 years. You understand? Financial disclosure and conflict of interest. An example. Senators' spouses may not accept gifts worth more than $250 a year without getting a waiver. So let's suppose we have a senator who happens to be secretly gay, and there are several. His partner can receive gifts in the millions, you see. Crimes and family violence. Here's an example. Any effort to influence a U.S. official by threatening the official's spouse is a federal crime. Now, if you happen to be a CIA operative and you are gay, and there are literally probably hundreds of them, if I threaten your partner, whom you've been living with for 15 years, it means nothing. If I threaten your wife or your husband, with whom you've been living with for 6 months, I can go to prison. What else? Loans, guarantees, and payments in agriculture. Here's an example. Marital status is a factor in determining federal assistance to which a person's entitled. Oh, it goes on and on. Miscellaneous laws, hundreds of laws, including 14 that bar discrimination on the basis of marital status. And you wonder why gay men and women say, well, we're entitled to marriage, too. The local gentry, and they will say it's elementary.
Try to separate them. It's an illusion. Try, and you will only come
to this conclusion, love and marriage, love and marriage.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling sprite, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found 2 trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay,
if they flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Before past the hour, if I'm not mistaken, the Senate is still debating Medicare reform bill. The Medicare destruction bill is actually what it is. It's being billed as Medicare reform. You know, prescription drug benefit. It's a really, really, really nice payoff for another gang of Bush supporters, and that would be the pharmaceutical industry. The cynicism around this is just incredible. And before anyone says, well, the AARP, back to Mike, 35 million members, there is no membership for the AARP. It's a mailing list, first of all. And secondly, the guy who now heads it is a Bush supporter and a Republican Party supporter for a long time. It's my understanding that a lot of AARP members are revolting. Was I ever a member of that, Kathy? I think I was at some point, but no longer. Or on the mailing list, I should say. Anyway, this is a great payoff to the pharmaceutical industry who helped put Bush in office. The Democrats made an effort to stop this farce, but they can't and escape without a heavy political cost. Why? Because the Republicans and the right-wing media will paint the Democrats as trying to stab our old folks in the back, you know, stop a drug benefit for poor old Medicare recipients. That's how the Republicans will paint it. Actually, the Republicans are very gently sliding the blade into each Medicare recipient between the third and fourth rib and just letting the blade sit there. It takes a while to die from a wound like that, but Medicare will die. The truth, of course, is this is another attempt in this almost 40-year-long effort by Republicans to destroy Medicare. They didn't like it when it was signed into law in 1965. They don't like it now. They have never liked it because they can't make any money off of it. The plan that is working its way, that has passed the House and is working its way through the Senate, is specifically a plan that the House and the Senate rejected for themselves in the past, saying it was a joke, a farce, and they were going to have anything to do with it. But this is what they are pushing onto America's seniors. Now, whatever changes that are going to happen with Medicare, and these are not benefits, these are changes, whatever changes, they won't kick in until 2006. Another highly cynical move by the Republicans, because 2004 is an election year. This gives the Republicans, and a few Democrats, I might add, the opportunity to go home and campaign and say, well, look, I got a Medicare benefit for your Aunt Gertie and your grandmammy. And, of course, none of them will be able to answer the question, what exactly did you get for my grandmammy and my Aunt Gertie? They won't be able to tell you. They will not tell you. Because if the truth were to out, which it never does, given the fact that we do not have a responsible media, we would all sit back on our asses and laugh at what the Republicans and a few Democrats are touting as Medicare reform or a prescription drug benefit package added to Medicare. It is not. It doesn't kick in till 2006, whatever it is. It's going to leave literally tens of thousands of Medicare recipients now in the dust. They will be not denied benefits. But the reason it doesn't kick in until 2006 is there's an election year in 2004, if we have an election, if the Bush crime family hasn't declared posse comitatus null and void and we have a military government in this country. If that does not happen, there's an election in 2004, so the Republicans will be able to say, look, we got a Medicare benefit. In 2006, when this kicks in, well, surprise, surprise, there's another election. And the Republicans will be able to say, well, it starts this year, aren't you glad? Now, who in media, what media outlet, what network, what cable network, what newspaper will report on this cynicism?
Keep our promises to the elderly in America. This requires a sense that urgency.
In high places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Deciding how much of a chemical is safe for people is not just a question of science, it's also one of values. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Government regulators use risk assessments to establish acceptable exposure levels to certain chemicals. Risk assessments are based on scientific research, leading to laws and regulations that might seem objective and sound. But Colleen Moore, a psychologist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, says these rules also need to include a community's values. In her book, Silent Scourge, Moore argues that after data on a pollutant have been collected, citizens should help decide what actions to take.
A numerical risk assessment is a way for a community to come together and decide their values. But at present, risk assessment is not being used that way in our society. And so one of the important points that I make in the book is that we need to examine each step in the risk assessment as citizens and activist groups of citizens and also industry and say, well, is this the level of protection that I want?
For example, say a particular chemical is thought to pose a 1 in a million chance of causing deterioration in motor skills. Some communities might see that as an acceptable risk. Others might want tougher or more lenient standards. Moore says pollutants that affect motor skills and mental abilities need especially close evaluation.
In any risk assessment that involves a behavioral outcome like IQ test scores or children's fine motor functioning, where the scores vary continuously, the first thing that the risk assessors need to do is set a cutoff for what counts as a negative outcome.
Moore says people need to speak out about what risks they're willing to accept, and regulators should include those opinions in their decisions. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
So prescription drugs will be an ingrainable part of the Medicare plan.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. An ingrainable part of the Medicare plan, yeah. Okay, well, that's good, George. You know, Bush promised that his... promoted this Medicare... these Medicare changes... by focusing on the importance of keeping the cost down. Now, what is this, a $400 billion plan that there's no way to pay for it? Before leaving for Great Britain last week, he met with congressional leaders and said to them, remember the promise we've made to America's seniors and vote yes for this legislation. And we must protect seniors from high medical costs that can rob them of their savings. Now, how do I know he said that? Because the White House press office released that as a statement for Bush. You know, and I know, he did not make the statement, that somebody wrote it for him, that was released as his statement. But keep the statement in mind, because the 1,100-page Medicare reform bill, that's right, 1,100 pages, the one supported by Too Stupid to Be President, expressly states that the Medicare administrator cannot, quote, interfere in any way with negotiations or otherwise interfere with competitive nature of coverage of prescription drug costs, despite the success. Well, that's the end of the quote. Now, this is in spite of the success of other agencies reducing costs by government pooled purchasing. What this means is the Medicare administrator cannot engage the pharmaceutical industry in bulk purchases. That's part of the law. Even though other branches of government ostensibly use this. Now, I said this was a payoff, as you know, to Bush's thuggish friends in the pharmaceutical industry. What better payoff than to have written into law that negotiating for reduced prices by ordering in bulk shall be prohibited? Can you believe this? Can you believe this? Now, negotiating lower prices for government agencies, that's been around for years. Example? The Veterans Administration. It negotiates drug prices on behalf of its enrollees, and that's a method that a National Academy of Science study found a couple of years ago had achieved nearly $100 million in savings. But that's just veterans, and the Republicans hate veterans. What the Republicans and Bush want are payoffs for their backers in the pharmaceutical industry. And by God, this is a biggie. Now, Bush also insisted that any bill regarding a Medicare prescription drug benefit enables seniors who have drug coverage from their former employers that they would be able to retain that. In fact, what Too Stupid to Be President said last year was, quote, more than half of our seniors have private drug coverage now because of their previous employment. And government should act to strengthen these private health insurance options, not replace them. End quote. But an analysis of this bill that is working its way through Congress and probably will be finalized tonight, the bill Bush wants, the Center for American Progress analyzed it and found that it would, quote, discourage employers from continuing to offer prescription drug coverage to their retirees by providing less Medicare assistance to such retirees than to other beneficiaries, which means it would result in the possible elimination of coverage to 2 or 3 million retirees, more than half of whom have incomes below $30,000 a year. So, as usual, what Bush says, what the Republicans say, is not a half-truth, it's not a distortion, it's not a spin, it's an absolute, total lie. I want retirees to get their drug benefit from their employers to continue to have that. This bill destroys that. I want to make sure they get the lowest possible cost. This bill destroys that. This is a payoff to the pharmaceutical industry. And it's a biggie. What is it, $400 billion? It will affect 40 million people on Medicare? Oh, my God. Now, you remember a few years ago, back in 2001, remember the big anthrax scare and the Secretary of Health and Human Services, is that what they still call it? Yeah, Health and Human Services. Tommy Thompson negotiated with Bayer, the pharmaceutical company, to obtain a lower price for the company's anthrax medicine. Remember Cipro? Oh, that's so 2 years ago, isn't it? But remember that? So it's been done before. It's recent. It's been done by the Bush crime family. It is absurd that the Bush crime family will not allow negotiations for lower drug prices, but it plans to spend $400 billion in the next 10 years. So the bill is going to allow the pharmaceutical industry to continue charging America's seniors the highest prices in the world. Now, isn't that lovely? Don't you just love that? How many retirees, how many people on Medicare vote Republican? For you people who are on Medicare and you vote Republican and you support this, choke on it, literally. Because when you cannot get your medicine, when you are dying because you don't have the money for the medicine and you have no way to get it, remember who slid that knife between your third and fourth ribs and left it sit there. So when you cough, well, you understand. Have I said yet tonight how much I hate these people? The absolute and utter cynicism here. And then you watch people like Bill Frist or Tom DeLay over in the House side talking about how they're doing this for our elderly citizens, for Medicare recipients. And I hate them. It's November 2003. Here's some old folks sitting at home watching this on television. Go, well, yeah, this is great. You know, we'll have prescription drug coverage here in a couple of years, Maud. Yeah, I'm glad of that, Carl. We sure will. Well, Maud and Carl will probably be dead before this kicks in. A, B, for Maud and Carl's friends who won't be dead, members of their bridge club, when they find out that all of a sudden the cost of prescription drugs for them is going up and there is no way to stop it, maybe they will think, gee, why did we vote Republican again? On the other hand, someone will send them, either Tom DeLay or Bill Frist or somebody in the Congress will send them a letter that says, your increase in drug prescription plans here, it's all Bill Clinton's fault. It's Bill Clinton's fault. He did this. He set this up back in 1997. Boy, it just doesn't stop, does it? Huh? Never. With Republicans, never. Now, by the way, who do you think wrote this bill? That's right. The same people who wrote the energy bill, the same people who wrote the whatever bill, this bill and that bill. It's down to the point now where Republicans only go into caucus, go into session and write these bills. Democrats are not even allowed in the room. I'm going to change the tone in Washington. Going to reach across the aisle. Well, that's where we are, and apparently that's where we absolutely want to be. Good news, General Peter Pace, who is the Vice Chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, he had an announcement Friday. He says that Osama bin Laden, the Al-Qaeda mastermind, and the person who, if you listen to the Bush crime family, brought death to 3,000 people on our soil on September 11th, Osama bin Laden has, quote, taken himself out of the picture, end quote, and his capture is not essential to winning the, quote, war on terror, end quote. That from General Peter Pace, Vice Chairman, U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff. He was at the U.S. military headquarters just north of Kabul, Afghanistan, where he was checking up on the 11,000 U.S. forces hunting, hunting Al-Qaeda and Taliban militants. And General Peter Pace said, no, bin Laden has taken himself out of the picture. So there you go. America's new ambassador to Kabul, that would be Zalmay Khalilzad, who is a former Unocal oil consultant. Remember, the reason we bombed Afghanistan was to get this oil pipeline for Unocal, and now the ambassador to Kabul, the American ambassador to Kabul, is Zalmay Khalilzad, who is a former Unocal oil consultant. Yawn. Khalilzad said earlier this week that the U.S. military would redouble its efforts to find bin Laden. Well, gee, Zalmay, you better get on the same page as General Peter Pace, because Peter Pace says, no, it's not an issue. Bin Laden is no longer important. The enemy is no longer important. We're going to hunt him down, wanted dead or alive. We're gonna smoke him out, get him in his cave. I wonder if the 9/11 victims' families agree with Peter Pace that Osama bin Laden isn't important. Of course, what would they know? They can't even get information on how the Bush crime family allowed their relatives to be blown into dust. I wonder if the dead Afghans we killed hunting down Osama feel that bin Laden's not really important. I found this on, this is a Friday on Reuters news service, and I didn't watch any news to speak of over the weekend, but Kathy, do you remember hearing that bin Laden was superfluous now, had absolutely nothing to do with our war on terror?
No, but I understand Michael Jackson is back in Vegas.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Oh, and Britney has, a new music video.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Do you have any comments on what we've dragged out here so far? I certainly hope you do. Of course, we may be getting to the point where we have zero listeners. I understand over the weekend we lost another radio station or two. Huh? Yeah, too liberal. Too much Bush bashing. So we may not. I don't know. Hello? Is this mic on? I don't know. Are we transmitting? Get on the phone there, Kathy, and call the uplink at Detroit and ask them. You'll know that Too Stupid to Be President has expressed repeatedly his support for protesters' rights to express themselves, right? When he was in Australia in October and the Australian two members of the Australian Parliament were booing and hissing him, he said, "I love free speech." Right? Last week, when he was in London and interviewed by David Frost, I think that interview was before he went to the UK. David Frost asked him a question about the protesters that were expected and materialized to greet Stupid Boy's presence in London. And Bush said at the time, "Freedom's a beautiful thing. I would first say, and aren't you lucky to be in a country that encourages people to speak their mind? And I value going to a country where people are free to say anything they want to say." Well, did you see what was reported by the New York Times yesterday? You did? Would you call it cynicism and duplicity and lies again on the part of Too Stupid to Be President? The New York Times reported Sunday that a weekly bulletin published by the FBI and distributed to local law enforcement included information about organizing tactics of anti-war demonstrators in Washington and San Francisco. The memo details and analyzes legal activities, such as using the Internet for fundraising. It talks about tactics used by organizations to recruit demonstrators, like asking them to show up. A few weeks after the attacks against us, Press Secretary Ari Fleischer said that Americans, quote, need to watch what they say, watch what they do, end quote. John Ashcroft has said that critics of the Patriot Act, quote, aid terrorists, end quote. So here we are again. We're back to the 1970s when the FBI routinely sent agents to infiltrate organizations protesting the Vietnam War. If you are an anti-war activist, if you have sent me an email, your name is in this list. You are on the list. 10 days before the October 25th demonstration that drew 100,000 people to D.C. marching under the slogan, "Bring the troops home now," which I believe, Kathy, was that the one we went to? Did we go in October? We did not. We went in the spring. When did we go? I don't know. We went last year. But 10 days prior to that, the FBI circulated an internal bureau memorandum documenting a campaign against anti-war organizations and leaders who have been involved in mobilizing large and legal mass actions. Here we are again. But this is Bush's America. It's not your America. If you are content with George Bush, then you should be as happy as a pig in swill. Free speech? He loves free speech, doesn't he? He loves free. Oh, I just love free speech. I love liberties. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. FBI officials said in interviews with the New York Times that the intelligence gathering effort against peace groups in this country was aimed at identifying what they call anarchists and extremist elements plotting violence. It is not a monitoring of the political speech of law-abiding protesters. And you know that's a lie. If you were alive in the 70s or the 60s, you know that that's a lie. Anthony Romero, executive director of the ACLU, said the FBI is dangerously targeting Americans who are engaged in nothing more than lawful protest and dissent. Well, yeah. He added, as a matter of principle, this has a very chilling effect on peaceful demonstrators. If you go around telling people, "We're going to ferret out information on you," that stops people. People don't want their names and pictures in FBI files. You have the right to free speech. As long as you're not stopping
is cold.
Oh, here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
speak freely and with political discourse.
Yeah, right. It's about 4 and a half before the hour. Shelby emailed me, wanted me to remind you when I was going on there about the prescription drug plan. I had that in my notes. It will now be illegal for Americans to buy drugs from Canada. I guess it is now already, but it's a law that has not been enforced because the FDA will not certify that the drugs from Canada are safe, you see, even though they're made by the same companies. And of course, that's not the reason. The reason is the pharmaceutical companies know when they have a good thing. And here in America, since we are cowardly where it concerns forcing prices down, you remember Bill and Hillary Clinton's health care plan, right? And how it was attacked and referred to as communism in its purest form. Okay, so everybody calls in right before we have a break. Stay with us because we will take your call when we come back. Robert is calling from New Orleans. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Mike. I love your show. I've been listening for about 3 or 4 weeks now, and I think it's the greatest thing on the radio.
Well, thank you, Robert. That's very kind.
Look. The first question I want to ask you before I ask something about Medicare is this thing about Osama bin Laden not being important now. We don't have to go and get him. Well, if that's true, do we now get our civil rights back?
No. Osama bin Laden, of course, was always just the excuse to change this country into a totalitarian state with very close attention paid to the ideas of fascism. So, no, sorry.
Oh, well, look.
Nice try, Robert.
I had to make a try at it.
Yeah.
I've been begging him for him back since about September 18th, 2001, but, you know, something like that.
Yeah,
but
not coming back. The only way they'll come back is if we have a Democratic president and a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate so that these laws enacted can be unenacted.
Yeah. So we always... The fascists on the right wing just love an excuse.
Yeah, don't they?
They just love an excuse. Look, on this Medicare scheme, in my view, because I've been watching the debate on C-SPAN.
Can I get you to hold it right there on the Medicare scam? Can I get you to hold it?
Yes.
We got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll finish up with my good friend Robert, who has called in from New Orleans. And then Paul in Ellensburg, Washington. Jenny Bean, who's calling from Lincoln, Rhode Island. Kevin in New Jersey. And Paul from Poconos, PA. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Hello, Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Senate Democratic leader Tom Daschle is demanding that Republicans stop showing their first television ad of the 2004 presidential race, which he called repulsive and outrageous. The 30-second ad, which aired in Iowa over the weekend, features clips of Bush during his State of the Union address last January and says his opponents are now attacking the president for attacking the terrorists. Other Democrats on the Sunday talk shows joined Daschle in his criticism. Presidential candidate Wesley Clark said the ad is wrong and it violates the pledge the president made not to exploit 911 for political purposes. Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy called it an attempt to stifle dissent. Clark said, "I'm not attacking Mr. Bush for attacking terrorists. I'm attacking Mr. Bush for not attacking terrorists." Iraqi teenagers dragged two bloodied U.S. soldiers from a wrecked vehicle and pummeled them with concrete blocks Sunday, witnesses said, describing the killings as a burst of savagery in a city once safe for Americans. Another soldier was killed by a bomb and a U.S. allied police chief was assassinated. The U.S.-led coalition also said it grounded commercial flights after the military confirmed that a missile struck a DHL cargo plane that landed Saturday at Baghdad International Airport with its wing aflame. Nevertheless, American officers insist they are making progress in bringing stability to Iraq. Five U.S. soldiers were killed and seven injured when their helicopter crashed Sunday near the American military headquarters north of the Afghan capital, U.S. Central Command said. The soldiers were involved in an ongoing U.S. military operation dubbed Mountain Resolve, taking place in the east of the country. A U.S. military helicopter crashed today near Bagram, Afghanistan, said a statement sent by email from Central Command in Tampa, Florida. Early reports indicate seven service members were injured and at least five service members were killed. It is not clear what caused the crash, and the military said it is investigating. An oil pipeline near the northern city of Kirkuk was on fire Monday, and the local official said the blaze may have been caused by sabotage. Details about the incident were sketchy, said the manager of the Northern Oil Company. The fire occurred on a subsidiary line linking oil fields east of Kirkuk with the main pipeline in the region, and it was believed sabotage was to blame. Insurgents have repeatedly targeted pipelines linking the fields around Kirkuk.
More news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's National Park System is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. That's just too much to lose.
In what may be the first case of spam rage, a computer programmer has been arrested for threatening to torture and kill employees of the company he blames for bombarding his computer with ads promising to enlarge his penis. He threatened to send a package full of anthrax spores to the company to disable an employee with a bullet and torture him with a power drill and ice pick, and to hunt down and castrate the employees unless they removed him from their email list.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So, you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
It's time for another chapter of The Lifestyles of the Rich and Cranky. Rich people have problems too. For example, what's the use of being rich if you can't be pampered? Yet there's little to no respect for wealthy people who wallow around in luxury. So imagine the agony of the rich as they wrestle with ways to be pampered without being ridiculed for it. Take corporate jets. Your top CEOs don't travel first class. They travel their class in private jets. No lines, no wanding of their private parts, no mingling with us peons. Their new favorite is Gulfstream's G450 jet, which will fly 8 passengers 5,000 miles nonstop and PDQ. Price tag, $33 million. But that's stripped bare. You get a flyable plane for $33 million, but no interior. No seats, wall coverings, washroom, carpet, storage bins, etc. It takes another $3 or $4 million to have your plane outfitted, with an emphasis on soft and plush. deerskin sleep seats, mahogany cabinets, Persian carpets, muted lighting, flat-screen video displays with surround sound systems, walk-in showers, and, of course, 24-karat gold plating for the fixtures. As one jet maker puts it, the finishes and furnishings should look more like the interior of a multi-million-dollar home than an airplane. Yes, but what are the small shareholders and the workers to think? They see these flying mansions as nothing but extravagant toys for over-pampered executive fat cats. CEOs get cranky when asked about this, but now they've devised a carefully crafted response. A jet encourages in-flight productivity, they claim, asserting that it's just another work tool, like a carpenter's lathe or a school teacher's book bag. This is Jim Hightower saying, if it takes Persian carpets and gold fixtures to be productive, why don't they provide these for all workers?
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you have been somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. Seven past the hour. This is the Malloy Program. We're at 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. Back to Robert in New Orleans. You were just about to make a comment, I think, on the Medicare.
Metascam that Republicans are trying to pull off on everybody.
Metascam, yes, sir.
If you've listened to, and I know you're a well-informed person, but to anyone else, if they've listened to this debate, it's been very informative on the Senate floor.
Uh-huh.
This scam that they're pulling is basically a corporate welfare scheme for HMOs.
Sure.
Disguised as a benefit package.
Sure.
For people, and it simultaneously achieves the goal that every Republican has wet dreams about, and that is destroying Medicare and any government program that helps the disadvantaged in our society. And that's basically all I really wanted to say, and whatever that you had to say back, you know, I mean.
Well, I've paid a little bit of attention to it, Robert. I've not watched the debate, but I've watched what has been written about it by people like Paul Krugman, New York Times, and some other writers who understand this issue. And what is really going to be sad, it probably won't happen for a couple of years after this thing kicks in, but the elderly folks in this country who all of a sudden will literally not be able to pay the premiums that they will have to pay to an HMO. What will happen here, this idea of cherry picking, is these HMOs come into existence. They will take the, as they always do, they take the well people, the people who are not suffering from either chronic illness, certainly not acute illness. They won't take those people. So the pool of Medicare recipients will become a pool of nothing more than people who are chronically ill, and the premiums for the chronically ill will go higher and higher and higher until finally Medicare just implodes. And old people, a couple of years, 3 years maybe, after this goes into effect, and by old people I mean as defined by these bills, somebody who's 65 can be younger than somebody's 35, but I'm just using it as a marker. Old people, a certain group, a certain category, a certain number of old people will all of a sudden be literally in that trap where they cannot continue with Medicare. They cannot afford an HMO. They cannot have health insurance. And it's going to be a sad, sad day. But this is what the Republicans are setting up today. And apparently America really doesn't give a damn.
Well, since you said you weren't listening to the debate on C-SPAN, are you aware that there is this big provision in the bill that where a big chunk of this $400 billion that's supposedly going to fund this, mm-hmm. is actually going to go directly to subsidize the HMOs?
Yeah, $21 billion, I think, or $27
billion. Some huge amount like that.
It's just a giveaway. It's just a handoff.
And they're going to give it to the HMOs, and then the seniors are still going to have to pay this $35 a month.
Exactly.
Premium, exactly. $250 deductible, and 25% of the drug cost. And Barbara Mikulski pointed out that when you add all that up together, $1,000 worth of drugs is going to cost you $1,000 to get. Mm-hmm. So there is no benefit.
No, of course not. Anytime the Republicans tell anybody other than their own family members or another Republican that something has a benefit, they are lying.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, Robert. I understand this is your first time calling?
Yes.
Well, I hope you call again.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you checking in. It's just sad. But on the other hand, Republicans cut the throats. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, since there are rumors that these two soldiers had their throats cut. Republicans cut the throats, figuratively speaking, of our veterans, cut the throats of children. No Child Left Behind, women, infants, children, a feeding and nutrition program. Oh, please. Pell Grants. Oh, stop it. They cut the throats of children. They cut the throats of old people. They cut the throats of our military. These are vicious killers. Vicious killers. And there is no stopping them, okay? They don't even bother consulting with Democrats anymore. If any Democrat raises his or her voice against this, that Democrat is being either A, unpatriotic, or B, obstructionist, or C, trying to undo what the Bush administration is trying to do for the benefit of Americans. You've heard this over and over. There is nobody, with few exceptions, yes, 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 I always have to say this, there are a few exceptions in media, who try to report this. But the American public continues to support this moron. What is it, still at 50%? 56% of the American people polled over and over say he's honest, say that he's a good leader. It's astonishing. But as each one of these groups feel the lash, I just wonder, does it matter? Apparently it doesn't. I remember all the Reagan Democrats who watched their jobs go out of the country, even before NAFTA, even before there was these fakey, phony, corporatist agreements. Oh, man. Why am I going on and on? Paul is calling from Ellensburg, Washington. Hey, Paul, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I decided to change my mind what I want to talk about. I thought I'd help you out.
Okay.
I sent this to you in an email, but I don't know if you read it because you keep getting steamed over why you don't understand why people keep following Bush.
I think I did see that. I haven't had a chance to read it, no.
But basically, there's a quote, and I'm 90% sure that it's from Hitler, and it's, the bigger the lie...
Oh, yeah, the big lie thing. I think it was Joseph Goebbels who said, if you're going to lie to the people, and we should lie to the people, that's one of the functions of government, always tell a big lie and tell it repeatedly. Now, what Goebbels left out was have a drug-using thug like Rush Limbaugh to help promote the lie. Now, of course, when Goebbels and the Nazi gang were doing their evilness in Germany back in the 30s and 40s, you didn't need and the country wasn't that big. Germany wasn't that big. You know, they would get on state radio and everybody in Germany would hear it. In a country our size, you need monstrous enablers like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and the rest of these people in order to destroy the ability to think straight, to keep these big lies going, and they serve their they do a good job.
And the other thing is to tell you that all is not lost.
Oh, good.
My parents are Republicans, and they have been, you know, I wouldn't say extreme right Republicans, but they've been Republicans pretty much as long as I've been around,
mm-hmm.
a very long time.
Right.
And they basically both told me that they are not voting for Bush coming the election. And neither are a lot of people they know that are also Republicans. So they are kind of losing their numbers when it comes to the elections. I think what my dad said, short of a photo op with Jesus. He's not voting for Bush.
Well, that is encouraging, Paul. I hope that kind of attitude spreads. I don't understand why. I've said before on this program, Republicans to me, when I was a kid growing up, or even a young adult, Republicans still had something important to say, as far as I was concerned, as did Democrats, conservatives and liberals, were concerned the direction this country would go in. So, and honestly, sometimes these traditional Republicans were more right than the traditional Democrats, as much as I hated to admit that. Not often, but sometimes they were more correct or more right in their approach to problem solving. But we don't have a Republican Party anymore. We may still have Republicans out there like your parents, but we don't have a Republican Party. It has become a neo-fascist organization that is immersed in religious superstition on the one hand and murderous attacks on other countries on the other hand, and it's a very lethal combination. So good for your parents, and I hope it spreads.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate you checking in. Jenny Bean, that's a name for you, is calling from Lincoln, Rhode Island. Hey, Jenny Bean.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. I'm just Jenny. You don't have to call me Jenny Bean.
Oh, call you Jenny? Okay.
That's my email. That's why.
Oh, okay.
That.
All right. Kathy put it up on the screen. Jenny Bean.
Well, that's what I signed my email when I wrote to you the first time.
Uh-huh. So. Well, that's right. You did. You're the artist who hangs out in her garret late at night.
Yes.
Doing art. There you go.
That would be me.
That would be you.
And, my studio is, I'm the Mad Woman in the Attic is the name of my business, kind of.
The Mad Woman in the Attic.
And yeah, there you go.
That's great.
I have a friend. He's older than me. He's in his 50s, and he was at Berkeley in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been talking to him about all the stuff I've been listening to on IE America and on the radio and stuff. I just, you know, and he's starting to worry about me. He's like, it's not this bad yet. It's not this bad yet. And I'm wondering what to say to him because, you know, he was there.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, you know, I'll tell you when it gets bad. It's not bad yet. And I'm like, what do you mean it's not bad?
Well, what does your friend do that he's saying it's not that bad yet? Ask your friend, well, what would you like? Would you like there to be tanks in the street before? Without knowing your friend, I certainly respect your friend if he is your friend, Jenny, because you wrote me such nice emails. But surely, maybe his attention is distracted. Maybe he's paying attention to something else. It is much worse than it's not that bad yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. And so I'm like, okay.
Tell him to listen to this program.
Yeah.
That'll have him pulling his hair out in huge clumps, probably.
I know. So he's starting to worry about me. But it's funny because here in New England, I wanted to talk to you about the Medicare, too, is that they have buses that go up to Canada all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
The elderly people get on the buses, go across the border. I mean, they have bus trips.
You know, it's
specifically to go across the border to get to Canada to get there.
This new bill will make that illegal.
And I'm wondering what will happen. Like, will they stop all the little ladies on the way back and, like, have, like, a drug bus?
Well, they could.
Or, like, a bus full of, like, their walkers and their white hair.
It is against the law now to do what the bus trips are doing. It's just that the law has not been enforced with the passage. And that's one of the reasons this Medicare drug benefit so-called bill was pushed by the pharmaceutical companies, because they see what's happening. The state of Illinois, the governor of Illinois, Rod Blagojevich, just a couple of 3 weeks ago, said that he is very interested in purchasing drugs from Canada in bulk basis for state employee retirees who get a drug benefit. And he was told, no, you can't do that. There have been several governors of several states who are interested in this.
Mm-hmm.
But with the passage of this new bill, not only will it be illegal, it will be enforced. And it will be enforced on the most asinine of reasons. Our government will say to us, well, the Food and Drug Administration can't guarantee that these drugs are safe to take. Can you believe that? Jenny Bean, let me put you on hold for a second. We have to take a break. I'll come back and we'll finish up in just a second. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Okay, here we go. That comic book show promo, take one. From the depths of Schroeder's parents' basement, that comic book show.
Hi, I'm Schroeder. Can I get your boys
anything? Mom, we're trying to do a promo for our show. Didn't you see the light on?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey, I didn't see it. But anyway, would you boys like something or not?
Will you just leave us alone, please? We're working against a deadline here. And no, we would not like anything.
Okay, then I'll leave you two boys alone.
Okay, where were we?
Dude. I wish I was your dad.
Why?
I promise you won't be mad at me now. But I gotta tell you something. Man, your mom is hot!
Dude!
Man, she's smoking, dude!
Knock it off!
Whoa!
Oh, will you just shut up?
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're talking with Jenny, who has called in from Lincoln, Rhode Island.
Do you have a Rhode Island bureau chief?
We do not.
Hey, can I be your Rhode Island bureau chief?
Well, let me check with my producer. Well, she's nodding her head, so I guess that means yes. Now, when you call in, you have to say, this is the Rhode Island Bureau Chief.
Right.
Okay. Now, you're going to have Thanksgiving with
the ultra-conservative in-laws, yes.
In-laws.
Yes.
Now, how's that going to be? What are you going to do, Jenny?
I don't know. It's so hard. Because it's not so much my in-laws as it is my sister-in-law and her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it just to get to me, and just to get to my husband, but also it gets to me more. He's lived with it all his life, so he can...
Well, that doesn't sound very nice, that kind of behavior, just antagonizing somebody for the hell of it.
Well, yeah, and so, like, and they're Catholic, and I wasn't raised Catholic.
Uh-huh.
And so there's, like, the whole, like, religious aspect of it, too. It's, like, they love to bring up, like, abortion and all kinds of, like, over dinner.
At dinner time.
It's like, yay.
This sounds like the family from hell, Jenny.
Well,
these in-laws, anyway.
Well, so, anyway, I found the greatest bumper sticker. I think it was, like, on oustbush.com or org or something like that. You'd have to look for it online.
Uh-huh.
But it says re-elect Bush Cheney, and then instead of saying 2004, it says 1984 on it. So if you look at it from far away, it looks like I'm being all supportive.
Well, you're going to have a good Thanksgiving. I can tell.
I try to ignore.
Now, is this Thanksgiving dinner held there in Rhode Island, or will it be somewhere else in the country?
No, it's somewhere else, but it's not too far away, so we drive.
You drive there.
Like an hour and a half.
Yeah. Oh, well, that should be fun. Are you going to spend the night or just going for Thanksgiving Day?
Just going for dinner.
Just for dinner.
Yeah.
And there'll be you and your husband, your brother and sister-in-law.
And then
Mom and Dad.
Mom and Dad, and then another brother and his girlfriend.
7, 8. So there'll be 8 people. How about any little kids?
No.
Just 8 people.
Right.
8 adults. All
we
right.
We can't have any holidays at our house until I actually have children, I've been told.
There you go.
And so I didn't know that was a rule until just now.
It is a rule. It's a rule in most marriages. I'm sorry, but your husband didn't tell you that? it wasn't in your prenuptial agreement?
We eloped, actually.
Oh, okay.
So that was part of it, too. I mean, I'm just all kinds of evil.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
And bad.
I'll bet they just look at you as not just the black sheep, but the I don't know, the sinning black sheep.
Well, the problem was I met my husband when he went away to college.
Yeah.
And so he left the Catholic faith when he went away to college. He just happened to meet me at the same time.
Ah. So
I didn't actually pull him from the Catholic faith. He was already leaving.
Uh-huh.
He just happened to meet me at the same time.
But your in-laws have put one and one and
together
and come
so
up with come up with
I
three.
Symbolize
yeah.
that.
Right. Well, that makes sense. I mean, in a roundabout, offhand way, that makes sense.
Of course, not my parents, but the rest of my family are fundamentalist Baptists. So.
Well, Jenny, you have a fun family, don't you? Jenny, thanks for calling. I'm glad you found the program. I hope you'll call again.
Yeah, I'm a little shy, but
well,
sounds like I'm just talking to you. So
that's it. That's pretty much is it, too. And the 26 listeners we have.
Oh, no.
Thanks, Jenny.
Okay.
All right, you have a nice evening.
Yeah, bye-bye.
All right, take care. Yeah, the reason it sounds like that, Jenny, is because it's true. How many stations do we get thrown off this past week, Kathy? Two more? Jeez. All right. So that was Jenny. Jenny had sent me a couple of emails. She works at night. She's an artist. Works at night in her garret or her attic. And for some reason, I started thinking of the movie Beetlejuice. As soon as she told me that, I thought, wow, you know. Quick break. We'll be right back to your phone calls. And just before we go to your phone calls, we have a KKK update. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Get on, time to have a great parade. You don't have to have any clothes on. You're a Catholic the moment that came. Because every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is great. If a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Deciding how much of a chemical is safe for people is not just a question of science, it's also one of values. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Government regulators use risk assessments to establish acceptable exposure levels to certain chemicals. Risk assessments are based on scientific research, leading to laws and regulations that might seem objective and sound. But Colleen Moore, a psychologist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, says these rules also need to include a community's values. In her book, Silent Scourge, Moore argues that after data on a pollutant have been collected, citizens should help decide what actions to take.
A numerical risk assessment is a way for a community to come together and decide their values. But at present, risk assessment is not being used that way in our society. And so one of the important points that I make in the book is that we need to examine each step in the risk assessment as citizens and activist groups of citizens and also industry and say, well, is this the level of protection that I want?
For example, say a particular chemical is thought to pose a 1 in a million chance of causing deterioration in motor skills. Some communities might see that as an acceptable risk. Others might want tougher or more lenient standards. Moore says pollutants that affect motor skills and mental abilities need especially close evaluation.
In any risk assessment that involves a behavioral outcome like IQ test scores or children's fine motor functioning, where the scores vary continuously, the first thing that the risk assessors need to do is set a cutoff for what counts as a negative outcome.
Moore says people need to speak out about what risks they're willing to accept, and regulators should include those opinions in their decisions. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. This was on MSNBC tonight, Keith Olbermann's show. If you haven't tuned into that, it's worth it. 8 till 9 p.m. Eastern time. Good show. And John and Peggy sent it to me also. This is from Johnson City, Tennessee. Associated Press story, Dateline Today. Today. A bullet fired in the air during a Ku Klux Klan initiation ceremony came down and struck a participant in the head, critically injuring him, authorities said. Gregory Allen Freeman, 45 years old, was charged with aggravated assault and reckless endangerment in the Saturday night incident that wounded Jeffrey S. Moore, 24. About 10 people, including two children, had gathered for the Klan initiation ceremony. The man who was being initiated was blindfolded, tied with a noose to a tree, and shot with paintball guns as Gregory Freeman fired a pistol in the air to provide the sound of real gunfire, according to the sheriff. A bullet went up and came down and struck Moore on the top of the head and exited at the bottom of his skull, authorities said. Yeah, John in Tallahassee sent this to me. He says these guys warrant a group Darwin Award. Y'all are familiar with the Darwin Awards, I'm sure, every year that go to people who really are trying to evolve themselves right out of the food chain. But this isn't this great? I mean, don't you love this story? Isn't there something about this story that is just almost heavenly? It's just, I you know, sometimes in my atheism, when I see a story like this and I think, well, maybe there is a God, but he's a trickster, or she, and does stuff like this because he or she is bored, you know, over in the 27th dimension, creating more snakes and spiders and planets, and peeks back here once in a while and says, hey, there's a group of Klansmen down there. I think I'll have some fun. Or not. This is a great story. Great story. Except for the two kids who were there. Now, no. As a matter of fact, I wish there would have been 22 kids there. Because then they... Because, these racist pigs are like a lot of racist pigs. They're also very Christian in their interpretation of Christian, which is not the teachings of Christ. I always have to make that distinction, don't I? Because I always piss people off. They just get their panties in a wad when I bust up on these fake, phony Christians. Tough. But I wish there would have been 22 children there who could have seen this man be shot through the top of his head. At first, maybe the children would have went, oh, God done shot him because God don't like this. And then secondly, they'd say, no, it's not that. It's just because we are very stupid white people to be standing here doing this. Thanks, John in Tallahassee. Yeah, I heard that story on Countdown with Keith Olbermann tonight, and I thought, oh, no, that is just too righteous. Kevin is calling from New Jersey. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
I just wanted to talk to you about the FBI intimidation of the protesters.
Isn't that something? In the New York Times yesterday, oh, my God. Here we go again, huh?
Well, I was going to say, I've been at just about all the major protests in D.C. and New York, and they've tried to intimidate us every time we go out.
Sure.
In New York, it was in pens and things like this. But I also think that they're running up against groups that they really aren't prepared for. I mean, you know, when you go up against the veterans against the war, and, you know, Vietnam vets against the war and people like that, you're not going to intimidate them by putting them into pens.
No.
And taking their pictures. I mean, come on.
No, you're not.
And we've got one guy at the church I go to, which, well, fortunately, is not like the KKK article.
Uh-huh.
But he's actually written to the FBI and got an FBI file. His FBI file is 65 pages. This guy is like 70 to 80 years old, and he's out there protesting with us like every other weekend.
And he's 65 pages in his file?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, not surprising. If he, how old is he?
He's about 70 to 80 years old.
So he's like a World War II veteran, maybe?
Yes, yes, he is.
And
he still goes out with us, you know, on the weekends when we protest against the war.
Mm-hmm.
And
they have a file. File on him, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he's going like, what do you want, pictures of me? He goes, you can go into the local paper. He goes, I'm in the local paper most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, it's just an intimidation tactic. And I really think that to some people it's more of a challenge. Like, you want to take my picture? Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I've never filed an FOIA request to get the file or dossier on me. The one time I went to the White House way back in '93, went to the old executive office building. Everybody got in but me. I had to sit there for about 45 minutes every time I went to the EOB. Because the check kept the security check kept coming back with a whole list of, you know, stuff on it. And when we were in just another example, this during the Clinton years, when we were in Chicago during the NATO attack on Yugoslavia, I was opposed to that, very strongly opposed to it. There's a big Serbian population in Chicago, so I attended a couple of their rallies and talked about it from that standpoint on the program that I was doing on WLS. Well, finally, I was invited a couple of times to give speeches at these rallies. And we had a big rally at, where was that, Kathy? Dealey Plaza? Daley Plaza, named after the old man, Mayor Daley. But it was on the federal building, downtown Chicago, right off the loop. And it was on a Sunday. And I don't know, there were 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people who gathered in the plaza, and there were 10 of us who were speaking. I guess I was about the third or fourth. What was interesting was to look at all the Secret Service and all the military dudes with their video cameras taking footage of all of us who spoke, as well as faces in the crowd, but especially people who spoke. And the speech I gave that day, we were supposed to limit it to, what was it, Kathy, about 3 minutes. It was supposed to be very quick. And mine was just a typical rip the hell out of the U.S. government for its murderous attack on Yugoslavia. Now, I, you know, again, I thought Slobodan Milosevic was a pig and his own people should have shot him, executed him. But to use NATO for that attack, that was totally against the NATO charter. This is the thing that Wesley Clark was involved in. And Wesley Clark did such a damn fine job, quote, quote, that he was cashiered. He was told to retire, to get out. But I was against that because it was not what NATO was designed to do. So I'm getting off the topic. The topic is people who protest their government, especially now in the age of Bush, you're damn right. They will have everything on you because it is easier to get information on you now than it was even 5 years ago when the time frame I'm talking about, the NATO bombing thing that I would get involved in. But it is so much easier now to get information on you. There's been a series during the Clinton years. There was an anti-drug law passed that weakened civil liberties protections, and the Patriot Act builds upon that to the point. So it's not just Bush. I honestly believe Bush and his group are neo-fascists. I think Clinton was very conservative, and at the same time felt that he had to go along with what the right wing was demanding in order to get some of his other deals done. But in the process, Clinton assisted in the destruction of civil liberties in this country. And for that, I it's hard for me to forgive him. That makes me an apostate Democrat. See, I'm not supposed to say that. You're not supposed, just like Republicans are not to oppose St. Reagan, a lot of Democrats are not to oppose what some of the stuff that Clinton did. But some of the stuff he did was bad stuff. Bush, on the other hand, is a complete, Bush and Ashcroft and the rest of these people are complete neo-fascists. So, yeah, we're in trouble. Guys like you, me, people who organize these marches, people who get their faces videotaped and their names taken down and dossiers built on them, I just hope I'm dead before the time comes when we start getting the knocks on the door in the middle of the night in this country, Kevin.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah.
One last thing. Are you going to bring up the thing that Tommy Frank said?
About, we brought it up last week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that another attack on this country, and you can, or not just this country, but another major attack, we can just kiss the U.S. Constitution goodbye. This is going to become a military dictatorship.
Yep. Okay, yep. Have a good evening.
All right, thanks, Kevin. I appreciate you checking in, even though you brought nothing but scary news. People don't want their names and pictures in FBI files. No, we don't. But too bad. Ron in Santa Fe had sent me an email about this on Sunday. Mike, I listen to you on 1260 AM in Santa Fe. That would be KTRSA. I rarely write newspapers or talk shows. But the news that the FBI is monitoring anti-war rallies has me concerned. Is free speech dead, or has it ever been alive? I fear that the U.S. is going through the same insanity that Germany went through in the late 20s and 30s. Is the World Trade Center bombing being used by Bush in the same way the Reichstag fire was used by Hitler? In Germany, a small number of Jews got out while there was still time. I think if Bush wins re-election, I'm getting out. But where to? Your advice would be appreciated, Ron in Santa Fe. I don't know. There's a part of me that wants to stay and fight. There's a part of me that knows that my job is very limited. I will not be on the air too much longer. I will guarantee you this. Okay. Nor will people like Tom Hartman, nor will people like Bernie Ward, but I don't know what's going on with them, but I know what's going on with me, and I'll be able to give you more details about that later on, but it is coming as surely as God made little green apples. I don't know what to do. I honestly don't. To the extent that I could, I've been an activist for most of my life. I've always also had to live in the real world of being a husband and a father, and paying the bills and trying to get kids through elementary school and high school and a couple of them through college. And I've been married, I've been divorced, I've struggled, I've rented, I've owned a house, I've not owned a house, I've owned cars, I've not owned cars. There was a time I took public transport. In other words, I've done pretty much what a lot of people who choose a certain path have done in this country in the past 40 or 50 years. I've made a living as a writer. I've made a living as a telemarketer. I've made a living as a television news writer for CNN, as a radio talk show host. Yada, 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 yada. All of it very boring. But I have never seen a time like this. Never. And I don't know. I have no idea. I wish I could answer Ron's question here. Where to go? There's a part of me that wants to stay and fight. But fight against what? If I felt that there was another force beside you and me at work here, whether it's the media or even artists. Where in the hell are the artists lately? Oh, I know the Dixie Chicks. I know Sean Penn. A few people have come out, you know, and said what they needed to say. Tim, what's his name? Susan Sarandon. I know. But my party has done nothing, the Democratic Party, except go along with this. Media has failed us. Moderate Republicans have failed us. I don't know. I don't know how to answer. I don't know how to answer. Stay and fight, or say, look, time to move on. Time to do something else. I have no idea. I have no idea. But I'll tell you what, Ron, if I do get some ideas, or if somebody else does, you know, we'll certainly pass them on. Certainly. Paul is calling from Poconos, PA. Hey, Paul.
Mike.
Paul.
How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm a little bit upset.
Oh, yeah? About what?
Well, the other day, I guess it was Saturday, I turned on the liberal media on TV to follow up on the Lacey Peterson case. And,
yeah. And they broke in with some news?
Yeah, well, they started talking about these anarchists protesting the war all over the world. And I'm just upset that Lacey Peterson news was
interrupted
by these anarchists. I don't know what's going on. I can't figure out why the liberal media would be calling them anarchists, but
yeah.
I'm upset.
Anarchists. Don't you love that?
Yeah. So
yeah.
You're trying to tell me that since I've sent you numerous emails over this past year that I've got to worry now. I've got to worry about opening up my email every day and someone knocking on my back door, the sheriff.
Absolutely.
Oh, crap. You know, I should have listened to my wife and stopped listening to you. I should have listened to Rush.
I know. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
You talk about the drug issue and drug costs in Canada. I occasionally take an Allegra pill that's an allergy pill, and it's quite
right.
good.
Uh-huh.
If I buy it at the pharmacy down the street, it costs me about $1 a pill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for $1 a day, it's quite honestly, it's worth it. It's a good pill.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend out of Canada. I find that he can buy the same pill over the counter at the local 7-Eleven up there for 25 cents U.S. a pill.
Uh-huh.
So this is the drug company making a profit. This is 7-Eleven making a profit. The change in the currency, it's a quarter a pill.
And now
it'll be illegal when he brings it down to
me. Absolutely. Well, I think it is now, but it's not been enforced. But the drug companies will make sure that the Bush State Police Force will start intercepting folks who come back across the Canadian border, because the pharmaceutical industry is not going to stand for that. They know that the American public is dumber than dog droppings, and that we will continue to pay more than any other industrialized nation for the same drugs.
Well, occasionally, and I won't say it that it has ever happened or ever will happen, but occasionally he's been known to cross the border with Cuban cigars. Now, my question to you is, let's say he's crossing the border with Cuban cigars on one side and a box of Allegra on the other side. Which is the worst sin?
The Allegra.
You think so?
Oh, by far.
Oh, this is terrible.
Yeah, it is. Better he should come across with a couple of bales of marijuana.
He does have this little locked room upstairs in his apartment there.
Yeah, we shouldn't go there. Paul, thanks for checking
in. Good night, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Yeah, reefer, reefer. You come across with a couple ounces of reefer, and probably wouldn't be so bad as to come across with some Allegra.
Pretend that I'm happy.
which is why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum strikes my lines, a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. My Lanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength My Lanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who worked with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I want everyone to listen up and understand clearly. We need some good weekday programming ideas. I don't know why no one is writing this down.
Oh, geez. Oops.
We need some good weekday programming ideas that will appeal to all angles and opinions of all listeners. Any ideas? Johnson.
Oh, you said the wrong name.
It's Jameson, sir.
Jackson, Johnson, Jasper, whatever.
Maybe we can pick up Limbaugh and convince him to move more to the middle.
That's good. Get out of my office. Yeah, get out. Jeez. You're an idiot.
Durr.
Spicoli.
It's Smith, sir.
Yeah. Give me something good.
Why don't we just have some shows that will appeal to everyone's opinion? It'll make the listener base more diverse and make for a good show.
A talk show that everyone will listen to because their opinions will be supported by other listeners and welcomed by the show host. That's brilliant. Good job, Swanson.
You're on the ball.
Everyone take this next holiday off.
Wait, someone has to work. Doug Steffen's live.
Come on.
Best
in progressive talk radio, weekdays, on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network.
Show.
We caught somebody doing something right. Fred D'Amato, Mount Pocono, Pennsylvania. He put a sign out in his front yard says, support our troops, impeach the Bush administration. Of course, Mount Pocono jumped all over him. The borough councilman, Francis O'Boyle, said, the last couple words is what's the problem. I don't think it's right to put up a sign like that and say those things. The lawyer says it's protected First Amendment speech. John Finnerty, the borough council president, says, well, if we could all express our thoughts on a piece of plywood, just think what the neighborhood would look like. It might be a slight infringement of First Amendment rights, making him take down his sign. He's facing $500 a day fines for not having his sign. However, the story in the newspaper of Mount Pocono, New York, says that D'Amato removed the sign, but on Sunday said he planned to put it back up again. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Carl, Southside Carl, is calling from Chicago. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing, pal.
Yeah, I see the Democrats still haven't learned what bad votes can do for you.
No, they haven't.
You would have thought that, you know, after voting for Jimmy Bush authority, that they would know better than to vote for another bad policy issue.
Now you're talking
about
the Medicare drug benefit.
Yes, that's what. Uh-huh. I mean, I would have expected maybe the House to be a problem.
Right.
But surprising, the House got their act together. It's Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got the Senate, and you got something like, well, on this first vote it was 22 Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched today, and they almost stopped it with this procedural thing, point of order about the budget. They almost blocked it with that. It was like 61 to 49.
But the Democrats are not going to vote against what is being told to our seniors by the media and the Republicans is a drug benefit for Medicare recipients. Now, that's a lie. But Democrats are more interested in re-election and not being savaged by a Republican opponent in the next election, that the Democrats will not speak the truth. They will not unify themselves and say, no, we are not going to vote for this.
Well, I mean, this bill is terrible.
Oh, it's horrible.
I can't understand, you know, first off, the giveaways. It's in the billions of dollars that they're going to give to business, health insurance, and these people. Now, even though conservatives always talk about, free market, let the free market work.
Well, that's just rhetoric. they never believed in the free market. You know that, Carl.
Yeah, well, you know, you got that, and then you got this, they say a donut. This is not a donut. This is a tunnel. Where people are not covered in it.
Yeah, they have to. It's covered up. I forget the numbers. It's covered up.
You got 2,100 to 50-something hundred where you have no coverage.
No coverage, and the recipient has to pay that $3,600.
Hey, and the thing is, the numbers—they're not even numbers. Yeah. This gap. The numbers. I'm almost certain that were calculated to figure. Well, what's the largest group of people? That, well, when they reach a certain amount, that we won't have to pay anything for.
Yeah, exactly. Carl, let me put you on hold. You got more to say. We got a break. We'll come back and pick up Carl and your phone call right after this break. Do stay with us. I'd like to hear what you got to say.
We never return.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to
different...
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Iraqi teenagers dragged two bloodied U.S. soldiers from a wrecked vehicle and pummeled them with concrete blocks, Sunday witnesses said, describing the killings as a burst of savagery in a city once safe for Americans. Another soldier was killed by a bomb, and a U.S. allied police chief was assassinated. The U.S.-led coalition also said it grounded commercial flights after the military confirmed that a missile struck a DHL cargo plane that landed Saturday at Baghdad International Airport with its wing aflame. Nevertheless, American officers insist they are making progress and bringing stability to Iraq. Five U.S. soldiers were killed and seven injured when their helicopter crashed Sunday near the American military headquarters north of the Afghan capital, U.S. Central Command said. The soldiers were involved in an ongoing U.S. military operation dubbed Mountain Resolve, taking place in the east of the country. A U.S. military helicopter crashed today near Bagram, Afghanistan, said a statement sent by email from Central Command in Tampa, Florida. Early reports indicate seven service members were injured and at least five service members were killed. It is not clear what caused the crash, and the military said it is investigating. Senate Democratic leader Tom Daschle is demanding that Republicans stop showing their first television ad of the 2004 presidential race, which he called repulsive and outrageous. The 30-second ad, which aired in Iowa over the weekend, features clips of Bush during his State of the Union address last January and says his opponents are now attacking the president for attacking the terrorists. Other Democrats on the Sunday talk shows joined Daschle in his criticism. Presidential candidate Wesley Clark said the ad is wrong and it violates the pledge the president made not to exploit 911 for political purposes. Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy called it an attempt to stifle dissent. Clark said, "I'm not attacking Mr. Bush for attacking terrorists. I'm attacking Mr. Bush for not attacking terrorists." An oil pipeline near the northern city of Kirkuk was on fire Monday, and the local official said the blaze may have been caused by sabotage. Details about the incident were sketchy, said the manager of the Northern Oil Company. The fire occurred on a subsidiary line linking oil fields east of Kirkuk with the main pipeline in the region, and it was believed sabotage was to blame. Insurgents have repeatedly targeted pipelines linking the fields around Kirkuk.
More news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NAT-PARK. There's just too much to lose.
A 19-year-old Norwegian has been convicted of drunken driving, even though he was a passenger, had a sober designated driver, and didn't even have the keys to start a car that was turned off. The man and a friend were on their way home from a party in April when they stopped at a gas station to buy some food. He reached over from the passenger seat to change a CD in the car stereo and hit the manual gear stick. The car went into neutral and started to roll. A police officer was watching and detained him for drunken driving. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
It's time for another chapter of The Lifestyles of the Rich and Cranky. Rich people have problems too. For example, what's the use of being rich if you can't be pampered? Yet there's little to no respect for wealthy people who wallow around in luxury. So imagine the agony of the rich as they wrestle with ways to be pampered without being ridiculed for it. Take corporate jets. Your top CEOs don't travel first class. They travel their class in private jets. No lines, no wanding of their private parts, no mingling with us peons. Their new favorite is Gulfstream's G450 jet, which will fly 8 passengers 5,000 miles nonstop and PDQ. Price tag, $33 million. But that's stripped bare. You get a flyable plane for $33 million, but no interior. No seats, wall coverings, washroom, carpet, storage bins, etc. It takes another $3 or $4 million to have your plane outfitted, with an emphasis on soft and plush.
Deerskin sleep seats, mahogany cabinets, Persian carpets, muted lighting, flat-screen video displays with surround sound systems, walk-in showers, and, of course, 24-karat gold plating for the fixtures. As one jet maker puts it, the finishes and furnishings should look more like the interior of a multi-million-dollar home than an airplane. Yes, but what are the small shareholders and the workers to think? They see these flying mansions as nothing but extravagant toys for over-pampered executive fat cats. CEOs get cranky when asked about this, but now they've devised a carefully crafted response. A jet encourages in-flight productivity, they claim, asserting that it's just another work tool, like a carpenter's lathe or a school teacher's book bag. This is Jim Hightower saying, if it takes Persian carpets and gold fixtures to be productive, why don't they provide these for all workers?
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
The hour. We are talking to Southside Carl about the demise of Medicare. Where were we? Pick it up there,
yeah, well,
Carl.
You know, Mike, this is another lie. The Republicans want to keep talking about, the market is so wonderful and it's going to bring down the costs and lower the premiums and all this. No one is saying right now that the marketplace in healthcare is up 14%.
Sure.
Premiums were up 14% this year.
Yeah, and besides, anytime they tell you, well, if we deregulate or if we do this or if we take it out of the government's hands and put it in private enterprise hands, it's going to lower the price, they are lying through their teeth. And I don't understand why we Americans don't get it. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I just don't understand. I swear to God. We must be, Carl, the dumbest collection of people ever assembled on one continent.
Well,
it's astonishing.
This is what really hurts and bothers me, though. We're the richest country in the world, by far, the richest country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the way that we want to approach dealing with probably the most vulnerable people in our society.
Sure. But isn't that because our business and government leaders are sick, selfish bastards?
Well, I just can't, you know, what they're doing now. It's obvious, and you, like you said, the media isn't helping either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't take you don't have to be a genius to see that, well, hey, this thing is wrong.
I know.
And you would think that all over the media they would be screaming, well, what are they trying to do to America?
You'd think.
You know, all we're getting is a few sound bites, and they're moving on and whatnot. And this, like I said, this is going to affect millions of people.
It is indeed.
And not only that, if you also look at this thing, just like most of Bush policies that he's proposed, they all come or they have going to have the negative, the largest negative impact will be after the election.
That's right.
And with this particular bill, probably the most significant impact, it's going to be not if he was reelected, but for the next president after assume he gets reelected, the next president after him on that 10-year deal.
That's right.
We'll be locked in, the Congress will be locked into a policy 10 years earlier.
But they can change it.
Well,
if there's a Democratic House and Senate and a Democratic president, this move to destroy this country by the Bush crime family can be stopped, but only if the Democrats get control. And like you, Carl, I don't see the Democrats being able to go to the bathroom by themselves.
They're not, you know, I'm looking at John Breaux, who for the Democrats was the leader on their side, and he's talking about, well, oh, you know, it's, you know, it's not perfect, blah, 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 blah. You know, so doggone. You know, this guy, I know he's a conservative Democrat.
Right.
But come on. What Democrat values can you find in this?
None.
And then you got the AARP who done sold out their membership. I saw on C-SPAN this morning when they were talking about, no, it wasn't C-SPAN. It was part of the debate, and Senator Durbin had a chart that had this insurance company that was bought by another insurance company who is basically doing the business with, guess who? AARP.
Yeah. Well, they're not really a membership organization. They are a mailing list. Carl, I got to move on. Thank you, sir.
All right, Mike.
All right, Carl. I appreciate you checking in. You have a nice evening. The Medicare thing, you know, I don't know. Do you have to be, you know, old to feel the lash where it concerns the Medicare thing? Do you have to be on retirement or something? Carl's not. I'm not. A lot of people are not. Do you have to be a kid in school to feel the lash of this cynical Leave No Child Behind? No, I'm not in school. Carl's not. I think all the little kids that are. Do you have to be an environmentalist to feel the lash of how they're, you see what I'm saying? It's just astonishing. Just group after group, school children, college students, the military, retired people, veterans, environmentalists, and we're all environmentalists, I guess. If you want to have a clean beach or a clean lake to take your family to, if you want to be able to hike a trail, if you want to be able to climb a mountain, or every single thing is being destroyed by these people. And of course, it's okay with them because, you know, have you heard the good news? Jesus is coming back. So it really doesn't make any difference. They can destroy and corrupt and pollute as much as they like because the good news is Jesus is coming back and we're all going to go to heaven. Well, I'm not. But during the break, I got an email from Trey in Oklahoma. When I said the artists, you know, nobody is supporting these ideas, not the media, not the Democrats, not artists. And I named a couple of well-known artists. Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon, you know, a few. Trey says his group is. He says, I play with a band in Tulsa, Oklahoma, called Southtown Communist Party. I like the Southtown Communist Party. We hold shows at venues and other places and repeatedly open up on Bush, Cheney, Ashcroft, Rumsfeld, and Rice. Just wanted to let you know the artists are out there. Yeah, I know. And he mentions some other groups like Rage Against the Machine, but, you know, they broke up, you know. But I understand what you're saying. And I think I have another artist here, Ed from New Jersey, Montclair, New Jersey. Hey, Ed.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Great show. Yeah, I'm a visual artist, graphic designer, and retoucher. And every day I walk to work, I work in New York City, and I pass by all of these New York Post news boxes. And what I've done is I've made myself a little poster. I've copied one of their front pages, and it was a great page because it had a picture of Bloomberg, a picture of Schwarzenegger,
right,
and then I swiped a graphic from. To move on or some one of the other websites that said, you know, Bush lied and our troops died.
Right.
And I altered it so that it reads, Bloomy, a corporate tool, you know, Schwarzenegger, corporate Republican tool, and then Bush lied and our troops died. And I slipped those in front of the front pages of the newspapers as on my way to work, you know. And you have to pay a quarter, so it's like less of a... of the impetus for people to come along and tear it down because it'll cost them a quarter.
Right, right. That's great. That's absolutely great.
Yeah, and I also do it with the Daily News and the other papers that kind of ticked me off.
That's good. Guerrilla tactics. Yeah, and there's some astonishingly good stuff being done with flash videos on online. I've got a couple posted on my website right now. One is set to the tune Gay Bar, and it's Bush and Blair. And the other one is by one of my favorite video artists who put together a thing about the war dead. And you can go to MikeMalloy.com on the main page. Just go scroll down where it says recent program topics or whatever, and you'll find both these videos. And I would recommend everybody go check them out right now because, there is some amazing stuff being done by visual artists, by graphic artists, by video artists. So I guess what I was talking about is stuff on mainstream, stuff that's out there. So many musicians are totally intimidated because if they do speak out, Clear Channel that owns 1,700 stations and concert venues and concert production companies will just blacklist these artists in half a heartbeat.
Well, Mike, I can't wait until the Republican convention because I work right next to Madison Square Garden.
Oh, I bet it's
and I come in and out of there when I'm commuting. That'll be real interesting when I'm posting my posters there.
Yeah, well, I plan on being there, as do I'm sure tens of thousands of people who hate Republicans. It's a good thing to hate Republicans. A lot of people say, you know, a holdover from the 60s and 70s, and even people who understand emotions, how they play into health, they say, well, you know, you shouldn't hate. I maintain that there is righteous hatred. I would hate a Hitler. I would hate a Stalin. I would hate a General Custer. I would hate, you know, there are certain people I think it's cool to hate.
Oh, yeah.
And that to adopt a neutral attitude or an attitude, a Christ-like attitude or a Gandhi or a Martin Luther King attitude of, hey, let's love them back into the fold. That doesn't work for me because I'm not Christ. I'm not Gandhi. I'm not Martin Luther King. You know, I'm just a as common as dirt. And when I see things this bad, you know, I tend to hate, and it's righteous hatred, and I thrive on it. You know, I eat it for soup. I eat it in the morning. I drink it before I go to bed at night. So I will be there displaying some of this righteous hatred. Right?
Well, I'm sure that both of us will be sharing a patty on the way downtown to Point Center Street.
There you go. Ed, I'm glad you called in, man. Thanks a lot.
Sure thing.
All right, sir. Take care. Yeah, I get a lot of emails from people who like the program, but just say, you know, you shouldn't hate so much. I'll either respond or not respond. Sometimes I've got the time to respond, sometimes I don't. And my answer to that is sure. I understand hatred is a toxic substance that sometimes does more injury to the vessel in which it's carried than onto the object that it is poured. I understand that. But I don't, you know, I am not that, I've said it before, I'm not that evolved of a human being or a soul, if you want to go to that that level. Not at all, you know. I love reading about Christ and Gandhi and MLK and people like that. But that ain't me, babe. What's this from? Politicat over at Democratic Underground? We got time, good time for this? How to make the recipe for making a fundamentalist. Yeah, I guess she means a Christian fundamentalist, or he. Let's see. Oh, here. Okay. This is how you make a fundamentalist, Christian fundamentalist. Preheat your oven to 7,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That's the temperature of hell, as described by certain creationist physicists. Now, here's the ingredients you'll need. 1 teaspoon of education, 1 pinch of critical thinking, 3 pounds of sacred writings at least 14 centuries old and from another culture, 16 or more years of television, 14 or more years of isolation from others with different backgrounds. What, is it the break? Oh, damn. All right, we'll do this when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Republic. Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling spotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this. And
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telefar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. He has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine. Okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man? Huh?
Who are you then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Recipe for making a Christian fundamentalist. Ingredients. Here's what you'll need. First of all, preheat your oven to 7,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That is the temperature of hell, as described by certain creation physicists. The ingredients you will need: 1 teaspoon of education, 1 pinch of critical thinking, 3 pounds of sacred writings at least 14 centuries old and from another culture, 16 or more years of television, 14 or more years of isolation from others with different backgrounds, three or more charismatic leaders who can perform miracles on television, one crappy job, one failed or failing marriage, either parental or spousal, strong authoritarianism as needed, and liberal doses of fear. Okay, those are your ingredients. Here's what you do. Toss the education and critical thinking into a small bowl and set it aside. Break the sacred writings into bite-sized pieces, discarding all bits that might be uncomfortable to swallow or distasteful to chew. Grate, misinterpret, and translate. Melt and mix the television and the charismatic leaders over a low flame until sticky and thoroughly combined. Set on a back burner over double boiler to prevent scorching. Mix job and marriage in blender to create a lump of undigestible hopelessness and worry. Season with authoritarianism and fear to make a sour mash and almost create paranoia. Blend in grated sacred writings. If you accidentally season to paranoia, add a willful and disobedient child or egghead homosexual sibling. Roll sour mash into a log, coat liberally with sticky leader mixture, and refrigerate until cold, unyielding, and chilled through. Discard education and critical thinking and serve with prejudice and chastity. Boy, I'm just going to keep on pissing off fundamentalists, Kathy, until the day when they show up out here with a rope and a cross. Yeah, bring it on. Bring it on. Barry is calling from Ypsilanti, Michigan, one of those cities that used to carry our program on the radio, but decided that we were a little bit too, I don't know, intense. Hi, Barry.
Hey, good evening, Mike. I didn't know what it was, why you were taken off, and of course they didn't reply to my emails. So
that's why I hate having the program on in small markets, strictly from the standpoint of the station that will carry the program, because those stations are dependent on a lot of local advertising. And it's very easy for people who don't like the point of view I offer or the manner in which I offer it, it's easy for people to call those advertisers and say, if you don't stop supporting that Mike Malloy show, I'm not going to come and buy my car at your lot. Well, the car lot then calls the radio station and says, look, if you don't pull this bastard off the air, we're going to pull our advertising. So I've had it happen to me over and over and over and over again. That's why this program needs to be on in markets like New York, Chicago, L.A., Miami, Houston, Dallas, San Francisco, where most of the advertising is national advertising. And then they're not as reasonable. That's why it's so hard to, it's not impossible, but it's more difficult to threaten a syndicated program that is carried on major markets. I know a lot of people talk, well, let's get Rush Limbaugh off the air. No, that's never going to happen. Or even Dr. Laura. It's just not going to happen. Sean Hannity. Any of these thugs who are mainly, I mean, they're on medium and small markets, too. But you don't get liberals that call a radio station and say, or call an advertiser and say, if you don't stop supporting that conservative, I'm going to buy my car somewhere else. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely see.
Hey, Barry, I took your time. Let me put you on hold. I'll come back and we'll talk right after this break, okay?
Okay.
All right, sir. Stay with us, by the way. If you're on hold, we'll chat in just a moment.
Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Deciding how much of a chemical is safe for people is not just a question of science, it's also one of values. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Government regulators use risk assessments to establish acceptable exposure levels to certain chemicals. Risk assessments are based on scientific research, leading to laws and regulations that might seem objective and sound. But Colleen Moore, a psychologist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, says these rules also need to include a community's values. In her book, Silent Scourge, Moore argues that after data on a pollutant have been collected, citizens should help decide what actions to take.
A numerical risk assessment is a way for a community to come together and decide their values. But at present, risk assessment is not being used that way in our society. And so one of the important points that I make in the book is that we need to examine each step in the risk assessment as citizens and activist groups of citizens and also industry and say, well, is this the level of protection that I want?
For example, say a particular chemical is thought to pose a 1 in a million chance of causing deterioration in motor skills. Some communities might see that as an acceptable risk. Others might want tougher or more lenient standards. Moore says pollutants that affect motor skills and mental abilities need especially close evaluation.
In any risk assessment that involves a behavioral outcome like IQ test scores or children's fine motor functioning, where the scores vary continuously, the first thing that the risk assessors need to do is set a cutoff for what counts as a negative outcome.
Moore says people need to speak out about what risks they're willing to accept, and regulators should include those opinions in their decisions. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
Seven before the hour, we're talking with Barry in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Now, the real reason you called in, Barry.
Well, I wanted to talk just a little bit about government intimidation of the citizens. You were talking a little about the FBI intimidation of protesters a while ago.
Yeah, that New York Times article over the weekend, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. I wanted to make this a little more personal. I'm a pretty law-abiding citizen. I'm just trying to make a living. I'm a teacher. I try and contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. But if I'm politically active, I always keep it within the law.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of acquaintances and friends that are a little more active and participate in direct actions from time to time that may be considered outside of the law, and I keep in contact with them, but I've chosen to not take it that far. But
sure.
We have a bottling plant for Ice Mountain spring water up here in Michigan that is a big controversy, and allegedly somebody left an incendiary device outside of the plant a while back, and one of my friends is being investigated for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess there's been a grand jury convened. They're trying to get her DNA and fingerprints and things like that. But I found out that, you know, they searched her house, and the FBI was investigating her and searched her house. And of course, I haven't seen her in a couple of years, but we occasionally email.
Right.
And, of course, if they searched her house, I'm assuming they probably took her computer and they probably started running through her email lists.
No question.
So I'm sitting on my couch a couple of weeks ago, and I'm just looking out the front window, and I catch a SUV with a white male with a shirt and tie on and pulls up in front of the house, and he holds a camera out the side of the SUV and takes a big picture of the front of my house and then speeds off.
Could it have been a real estate agent?
No.
No.
Yeah, all right.
And, you know, I'm sitting there, and I watch this, and I'm like, what the hell was that? You know? What the hell was that?
It was what you thought it was.
Well, you know, I figure if they're building a file, and I used to even be a police officer, and I believed that as long as you know, if you weren't doing anything wrong, you didn't have anything to worry about.
Well, but the definition of the phrase not doing anything wrong has been drastically altered. Doing anything wrong now includes questioning what this administration is doing, A. B, having in your network of friends people who might be inclined to take more direct action or might be suspicious of having taken direct action. It is guilt by association. It is guilty until proven innocent. There are probably, I don't know, pick a number, 500, 600, 900 people in cages in Guantanamo, Cuba, who are guilty and cannot prove their innocence. They're guilty until they can prove their innocence, and they're prevented from proving their innocence. Things have gone ass over elbows, Barry. We are upside down here. We are through the looking glass, and the Red Queen is in control.
You know, Mike, all those things started to go through my mind after this happened, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not even paranoid. But you see something like this, And you know that if they're building a file on somebody, they want a picture of the house. In case they ever do raid the house, they use the photograph to make sure that their guys don't break the wrong door down.
Bingo.
And, you know, these things start going through your mind. And as an American citizen and somebody who loves this country, you know, it makes you very insecure, first of all. It makes you feel violated. As a citizen, it really makes you question whether you want to be here to an extent. I love the country, but, you know, the Nazis started with intimidation, and look where it went. I'm sure Saddam Hussein started with intimidation, and look where it went. You know, if law enforcement is being given all these powers, and if the definition of right is changing, I don't want to be sitting in my home wondering, you know, when these guys are going to come to take my computer.
That's right. There's a
even if I haven't done anything wrong, you know what I mean?
Sure, of course I do.
I don't like feeling like it's this. I want to personalize this intimidation. I want to try and personalize this for people who might be listening, so that even, you know, you're not a conspiracy theorist, you're not a somebody who's paranoid, but, you know, to be sitting in your home and to have the feeling that, you know, I felt violated. You know, somebody, and when an SUV comes by and photographs the front of your house and speeds off,
you start to
question your existence here.
I thought you were going to quote a line from Leonard Cohen. He's got a line in one of his songs: "I love the country, but I can't stand the scene." And I think that's probably what you're feeling. I know it is what I started feeling on December 12th, 2000, when it became clear to me that by God in heaven, by Christ, they were going to steal the presidency. They were going to steal the government. And ever since then, I know exactly. I hope people are personalizing these feelings. I hope people don't think you're required to put on your tinfoil hat or use the term paranoid. in trying to explain or understand or process these feelings, because it is happening. I mean, Jesus, of course it's happening.
Yeah, well, there were a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of good people in law enforcement. Most people go into it with ideals, you know, and I'm sure there's still a lot of good people in our law enforcement at all different levels of the government, from local to state to federal. But there were a lot of good people in German law enforcement.
That's right.
There were probably a lot of good people in Iraqi law enforcement. And you just sort of lose, you know, you get caught up in it. Mm-hmm. You go with the system. There's all kinds of different psychological explanations for why the good people started to do what they did. And, mm-hmm. you know, what's it going to take for our good people to start doing some of the things that they're not supposed to? I mean, are we really going to spin out of control like Germany did in the 30s? Are we going to, you know, a lot of people have said it's already starting.
Well, there are a lot of historical examples. There are an awful lot of almost cliched statements like power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. The Bush crime family has absolute power. I think the most corrupt American I've ever heard of, I've never met him, but the most corrupt American I've ever heard of, even beyond Nixon, is Dick Cheney. Cheney defines corruption. I just wish his pacemaker would explode someday. I mean, I really do. And I don't wish people dead. I figure people are going to do their karmic thing here. Until the time comes where they're not going to do their karmic thing here. But to me, Dick Cheney is a threat to everything that is human, that is compassionate, that is American, that is democratic, that is constitutional. He's evil. And this is a guy who just, even when you look at him and see him sneer, I mean, it's like his first expression is a sneer. It's unbelievable. Hey, listen, I have to leave it there. Barry, thanks for checking in. Stay in touch.
I will, Mike.
Especially now.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah. I used to hold on to the cop is your friend thing. I've mentioned on this program, I've had two people in my family who were in law enforcement. One was a beat cop, the other one was a deputy sheriff. So I've tried to hold on to the idea that Officer Friendly is really the one out there, regardless of the bad cop movies that were so popular in the 60s and 70s and so on and so forth. But then I started to, like you, started to pay attention, started to get the iconic figures out of my head and try to deal with reality. It started to occur to me, as evidenced by everything that I saw regarding this subject in the 60s and 70s and 80s, that Officer Friendly was something that was presented to us when we were in third, fourth, and fifth grade. Officer Friendly probably existed at one time in this country, but he doesn't exist anymore. Officer Friendly has now been removed, and in his place is somebody in full militarized battle dress, all black, SWAT team member, ready to kill you at the slightest provocation, and if not kill you, fill your face and your body orifices with toxic chemicals, beat you to the ground, handcuff you, and throw your ass away. And then it's up to you later to prove whether or not you deserve to have been thrown away or are innocent. The classic example, the most recent classic example, it happens every day in this country, but the most recent classic widescreen example is what happened in Miami with the protesters for the Free Trade of the Americas Agreement. And if you watch some of that video, and it's all over the internet now, go to any independent media, indiemedia.org location, and you can watch as much of this video as you can stomach. But when you watch that, and it doesn't have to be Bush's America, you can go back to Lyndon Johnson's America, you can go back to Richard Nixon's America, Ronald Reagan's America, and it's there. The difference is now we do not have a countervailing force There is no Democratic Party leadership, with one or two exceptions, one or two notable exceptions, who really will stand up to this. It takes more than one or two when you're dealing in the political realm. There is no media resistance to this. Yes, there is one or two, but it takes much more than one or two when you are dealing with something like this. There is, in fact, very little religious resistance to this. There was a time, you can just go down the list of religious activists during the 60s and 70s who fought against injustice, who aligned themselves with Martin Luther King, who aligned themselves with the anti-war movement. There are a few religious leaders like that left in this country, but for the most part, they have also decided that silence is the route to go. So without these sorts of assistors, is that a word, Kathy? From media, from government, from political opposition, from religious organizations. Now, again, there are a few. Look at the priests and nuns who protest over this past weekend against the School of the Americas. But the exception defines and highlights the rule. Voices in the Wilderness, this organization based in Chicago, is a religious, a Catholic organization that struggles against injustice. I'm not saying that it is totally dead, but these are mostly nameless, faceless people, God bless them, who struggle, who go to prison. 67, 75-year-old nuns who are sentenced to 6 months to a year in a federal penitentiary because they protested against the school of terrorism that's down here in Columbus, Georgia, supported by my tax dollars and yours. Forget the moral implication. Just how about the money? Huh? So the times that we live in now, Barry doesn't have to qualify what he says about tinfoil hat or paranoia. We're here. And unless there is some sort of dramatic change in the political drift in this country, of course we are heading towards that National Socialist mode, that corporatist mode, or to be more specific, the fascist mode. Of course we are. There's no question that we are. If anyone who doesn't see the evidence is deliberately gouging out their eyes. It's no matter where you look. Look at legislation passed. Look at how we have effectively one-party rule in this country now. I mean, for Christ's sake, come on. You cannot tell me with your intelligence. You are a high school graduate, aren't you? You're a college graduate, aren't you? You have postgraduate degrees, don't you? You cannot tell me, and be honest, that we are no longer that we are not a one-party system in this country. The voices, politically speaking, the voices of dissent, the political voices of dissent, the established political voices of dissent, are one by one falling away. They don't have the courage. They don't want to be anthraxed. They don't want to be defeated in the next election. You know, a lot was made about the governor's race in Louisiana, that this right-wing Republican was defeated by a Democrat. The Democrat that defeated him is practically as right-wing as he was. What the Republican had going against him was the color of his skin, being of Indian extraction. Asian Indian extraction. It is Louisiana, after all. I'm sorry, no offense to Louisiana, but you folks know what I'm talking about. But the woman who defeated him for the governor's race is a Democrat in name only. A dino, just like Zell Miller is here. So real political opposition is slowly being strangled, being choked off. Opposition in media is slowly being strangled and choked off. It's just a thing that is happening, and there's still a crack left that we might be able to slide through, but I have my doubts.
I'm sentimental, if you don't know what I'm I'm just staying home tonight, getting lost in that hopeless little screen.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay,
a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle, and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, talks to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the time is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Welcome back to the It's Not Your Fault You Didn't Know show. We're talking about the best way to spend your weekends, and we have two special guests right now. On the phone is the Terminator himself, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Arnold. And our other guest in the studio is George W. How are you today, Mr. Bush?
What's the matter?
Okay, all of our listeners want to know what you do on your weekends. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can listen to the best of left-of-center political talk radio on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network.
That's amazing.
George, your final words.
Stop it!
Thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, same time. Have a nice day.
Just shut up!
The best of progressive talk radio can be heard on Sundays now on IE America Radio Network. For more information, call 1-800-397-8255 or go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Hasta la vista, baby.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
It's coming through a hole in the air from those Nazis in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay. Democracy is coming to the USA.
Well, maybe someday. That's a great CD if you haven't gotten that. Leonard Cohen. We want to play just one soundbite for you. We promised at the beginning of the program that you would have a chance to hear Rumsfeld giving George Bush a monica, if you will. This was today, when Bush was signing the Defense Authorization Bill, $400 billion for just this fiscal year. $400 billion. Now, before Too Stupid to Be President speaks, Rumsfeld introduces him. I want you to listen to this.
It's an honor for me to present the world leader who understands better than any the deadly seriousness and complexity of the threats facing the American people, our allies, and indeed our way of life. The man who is steadfastly, eloquently, and courageously leading what is undoubtedly the largest coalition in the history of mankind in the global war on terror, and whose determined support of the men and women in uniform has been unfailing.
Can you believe that? And immediately after saying that, he got off his knees and Bush zipped his pants back up. But it's just unbelievable. A man who is steadfastly, eloquently, Bush, courageously. This is a guy who hides from the relatives of our war dead and our wounded. This is a guy who hides from the British Parliament for fear that somebody will heckle him. He's leading the largest coalition in the history of mankind, 37 Poles and 130,000 Americans. And whose determined support of the men and women in uniform has been unfailing as he slashes and burns and guts every single support system for veterans. Well, Rumsfeld, let me hand you a couple of Kleenex, because I think you need them. Program engineered in Detroit by Jay Bilecki, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces Mark Marshall is our webmaster. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau.